you, KCIW listeners, for tuning in to 100.7. I am Amanda Whittemore, and this is the Quality Living with Peaceful Support show, a show that gives us exactly that, a quality moment to talk about living, peaceful support, all things quality, and how we achieve them, and what they signify to each one of us in all of our different walks of life. We have such a variety, and it's nice to have more than 5 minutes at Fred Meyer's to talk with our neighbors. And today, we have a really fun guest. This is Ian from, actually, well, wait, I'll just introduce Ian and we'll get there. Hi, Ian.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm having a pretty good day. Thank you.
Awesome. Yes, here in Brookings, it's pretty difficult not to.
Exactly.
And how long have you been living in Brookings?
I've been here, I'd say, a little over 2 years.
Nice.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
I hope I can stay here the rest of my life, make this my permanent home is my goal.
Oh, how fun. I think we all wish that, especially as we're passing by and driving to the place of our residence.
Exactly. Beautiful views.
Yes. Well, we invited you here to the Quality Living Show because there is something that you provide to the community that is absolutely pure quality, the purest of peaceful support, and so much fun. And it is the Harbor Game Con, correct?
Correct. That's it. Harbor Game Con.
Whoa! That is so exciting. And last year was the first year?
Correct.
Yeah. Tell us all about the Harbor Game Con because it is so much fun. If anybody participated, go ahead and call in, give your comments to KCIW, and tell us all about it, Ian.
All right. So when I moved here about 2.5 years ago, and I lived in Sacramento previously, and so within the Sacramento area, there was always a game convention of some sort going on, maybe every 2 or 3 months. And so after about a year of living here, I started missing that. And I looked around and I didn't see anything in our general area that convention anyone was running. So I decided at that point in time, if someone was going to do it, it was going to be me. So I had, prior to that, no experience whatsoever running any type of event at all. So I had to learn as I went.
Nice.
Yeah. So the first step of starting Harbor Game Con was to sit down in front of a computer and write a business plan.
Oh, wow.
So I listed everything that I thought I would need for a convention. You know, you need location, you need events, you need marketing, you need all of these things. So I started with all those. And the name. That was part of it. That was part of it too. I had a list of names that I started with. Mm-hmm. We had one of the failed ones was Pelicon.
Okay, Pelly.
Like pelican.
Oh, like Pelicon's cute.
Yeah, that one didn't make it too. That one didn't make it too far.
Okay.
Rubicon. That was one of them. Also, mm-hmm. that one didn't make it. And then I just looked at the list today. At my business plan that I had for the original one, and the first one on it was Harbor Con, so that evolved into Harbor Game Con. I chose the name because it was fairly descriptive. The first year was in Harbor at the Grange Hall, and it was a game convention. So for me, that's kind of how my brain worked. That it was descriptive and told exactly what was happening.
To the T, absolutely. This is what it is, and this is where it's at, and that's what we're doing.
Exactly. So, name out of the way. I had to find a location. I live near, you know, in Harbor.
Okay.
Is where I'm living now, and so fairly close. So I saw the Grange Hall, went to them, picked a date, and then once I had a date, then I was really in trouble. You know,
it was like I couldn't
stop at that point in time.
Oh.
So. Name, location, and then the next part was funding. And
right.
So for the convention, what I had done the first year was made a flyer because that was part of the marketing, the media, so people actually knew to show up.
Mm-hmm.
So my plan was, and this is what I ended up doing, is I had a flyer, and once again, kind of looking at the flyers compared to what I have this year. Same thing with the name of the convention. It was pretty straightforward, you know, Harbor Game Con, the time, the date, you know, just a wall of text, because kind of, once again, how my brain works. If I read a sign, I want it to just have the information of importance from top to bottom.
Perfect. Right.
Exactly.
Very logical.
Exactly. And so for the funding part, what I had done the first year is I had sold small squares at the bottom of the flyer. And then I was going to use that to pay for the convention, for the hall, for the insurance, for the flyers and everything I needed. My goal for the funding, and I even had a mission statement on the bottom, was to make this a free convention, all ages, so people could just show up. I wouldn't have to charge at the door. Someone could just come. And then along with that free convention would also come community support.
So
not only was it a free convention, but it was a convention that was funded by the community for the community.
Mm-hmm.
So the funding for that actually helped me, because to get this sponsorship for the flyer, I had to go out into the community and talk to people. So
I started
by parking at the Pelican Playhouse, parked my car there, and then I just went down the strip all the way from the Pelican Playhouse all the way to the bridge, crossed the street, and then came back up.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah, and so I could say that I've been in every business in Brookings, starting at the Playhouse and all the way back up within a day. And the
quite awesome, impressive.
Yeah, it was a lot of walking. By the time I was done getting the funding, and then afterwards with the flyers, I walked a lot. I got out there and met every single person there is to meet. And I think ultimately that's what helped me, because going to each one of these places, you're walking in a stranger that the person doesn't know,
mm-hmm.
shaking their hand, you know, right? You know, like, hi, my name's Ian Crockett. I've got this idea for a convention, Harbor Game Con. You know, I show them a mock-up of this wall of text flyer that I had, you know, and then you've got the part where you say, okay, are you willing to help fund this?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I had a lot of yeses and a lot of no's. And I just to put the host in the spot a little bit, the first place I actually went into was I met you, and your enthusiasm was catching. I would say you were excited about the idea. If everyone else was enthusiastic when I walked in, I think it would have been done in about 5 seconds. That was definitely a morale boost. So I appreciate that. I have to tell you, I appreciate that.
Oh, of course, Ian. I'm blushing. Nobody out there in the radio can see this, but it was the most exciting day ever to have you walk into the office and have this great presentation, like something that's interactive. A lot of people come in, they ask for donations, and they have something to present, but it's mostly watching. And this was interactive, and I was like, yeah, I get to play. So I'm super thankful also.
Thank you. It was wonderful. So besides meeting everyone in the community, the thing that I did learn also was almost every place that I went into, the person there either played games, they played board games, they played card games, they played role-playing games, they played this type of game, or they knew someone that did. So even if that person didn't,
right,
they would say, "Oh, my son plays that type of game. You know, my brother does. I'll tell them." And
right.
So, the amount of going into a place and letting them know what I wanted to do with the community, I think part of the outreach of the event, being the first year being a success.
Absolutely. The devotion that you showed to, you know, meeting everybody and inviting them personally makes it all that much more fun. It's, you know, going in, it's like going into somebody's house, and like how we all used to do. Some of us still do that. We gather and we play games and we have fun. Our family loves board games of all sorts. It's like, and they're far away. So this was like really connective for people who live away from their families, and you know, their kids are over here, over there, and it's nostalgic.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I think it's definitely a common bond between people. People love playing games, even if it's not cards or board games or role-playing games, you know, the people in online, you know, video games.
Right.
There's all these social aspects to all types of games that bring people together.
To me, getting up every day and choosing what outfit I'm going to wear, and if I'm... am I going to the office? And then after that, you get a change into your superhuman outfit and you go teach yoga. And it's a lot of a lot of that, you know, if we keep it fun, then it's not showing up to work. It's like being a character each day.
Correct. And I would say too, you know, I kind of brought up playing online games like that because I moved here 2.5 years ago. Prior to moving here, I lived in Sacramento area my entire life. And so, you know, that's where my friends were, where my family lived.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a pretty big move for me personally, having lived in one spot my entire life. And then, you know, all of a sudden uprooting, I would say online games. I play online role-playing games, every weekend with my two of my best friends.
Nice.
And my mom.
Oh, yeah.
And so we play over audio chat, and then we use a computer program to simulate the dice rolls and all of that.
Cool.
And then before that, every Sunday before that, I play online video games with my dad.
Yes.
And so for me, personally, games have been a great connection for me to keep in touch with my family and to have a scheduled event that we can do every week. And that's helped me a lot.
That is very, very supportive. That's purest of peace and happiness right there.
Most definitely.
Keeps us youthful.
Definitely.
And so with the first year, I gratefully was able to be there. How did it go overall for the vision of what you're designed?
It better than I could have imagined. So what I had to do for the first year is I went into the Grange Hall prior to the event. I counted the number of tables, counted the number of chairs. That wasn't something that was on my original plan. That was something I needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
But the closer it got, the more I had to start thinking about logistics
of
how everything would go. So what I found out about this town and people in general, because I'm more on the role playing game, you know, Dungeons and Dragons and things like that.
What are some others?
Dungeon Crawl Classics. I have to give a shout out to that because that's is my favorite game.
Okay.
Game system of all.
Dungeon
of all time.
Crawl Classics.
Dungeon Crawl Classics.
Okay.
By Goodman Games.
Okay.
It's a wonderful game, and we actually had someone running it, a session of that, and we for this coming up year, Harbor Game Con 2024. We do have a person already running that. So if you want to try Dungeon Crawl Classics,
okay,
there'll be a sign-up sheet. But what I did find out that is that people love board games.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not as heavy into the board game part of it, but we had, before it started, I put a call out for people to sign up for a game schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a schedule packed full of board games.
Oh, wow.
Totally packed. Like I had, I think, 5 tables set aside for people to run board games, and the schedule was packed.
Wow.
And so that part was awesome. For the trading card games like Magic the Gathering, that type of thing, I started by trying to figure out if I could have some type of tournament or something like that. For that type of event, I had to go to the webpage for the company that makes it. And it was like a 70-page manual on what you needed to do it. So we ended up having open card tables for that type of event.
Okay.
And the part that surprised me happily was when the doors opened, there was already people ready to play Magic the Gathering. That community loves playing games, and they're always willing. By the time the doors opened and I looked over, we had the area for the people to play Magic the Gathering and Pokemon and those types of card games.
Right.
That table was already full. The people kind of just organized themselves and started playing that moment. It was amazing. I would say we packed the place pretty well. We had the scheduled games, those filled up. And then I also had a gentleman help me named Jeff. And Jeff contacted me, letting me know that he had, I forgot how many said, I think like 300-400 board games.
Oh, yes.
He owns. Yeah. And so he volunteered to bring those for an open board game library. And so he came in with tubs of games and tables and set everything up and was a wonderful help. So if someone came in and didn't, either the games were full at that time, or they didn't see a game on the schedule that they wanted to play, they could go to him and borrow a game from the open board game library. So
yeah,
And so we had the people at the scheduled games, and then people from the flyers and then from other media that I had show up that necessarily hadn't played a game before and just wanted to know what it was about. So
of course.
I would say the schedule filled up well, and we had quite a few people just show up just to see what the whole thing was about.
Oh my heavens. So then for the first year, complete success, more than imagined for the Harbor Game Con.
Definitely.
And if we thank you, Ian, for all the effort that you do to make that happen. And it showed. It was like you've been doing this your whole life. It was the most fun when you walked into the Grange. This year, 2024, where is it?
All right. So this year, partial sponsorship from the Brookings Elk Lodge, 1934.
Okay.
They've helped donate for the building, and so it's going to be at the Brookings Elk Lodge.
Oh.
1934. We have about twice the amount of space this year,
mm-hmm.
And so I'm hoping that I'm going to have, you know, twice as many scheduled games. I'm going to have. Because I had to count the tables from the prior year,
mm-hmm.
I had to count how many I had. So then, you know, I had, you know, five tables for board games, five tables for this. I have many more tables this year at this year's event. This is going to allow for me to schedule more games, to have more people there, as well as vendors. And so I'm also hoping to get, you know, quite a few vendors with game related items.
Okay.
So if someone comes and they just want to look around, they could have, there's fun things for them to look at there. The other awesome thing is that this year, the Brookings Elks Lodge will be selling food and beverages.
Yummy.
And so people will be able to come there. And if they want to take a break between games, they can go eat. Whereas, you know, the last year, I did. So the last year there was food there last year,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't for purchase. And what I had last year was, well, this comes with part of talking to the community also.
Of course.
So I last year I had free food that was donated by some pretty awesome businesses in this area. I had tons of popcorn from the Redwood Movie Theater.
Oh, nice.
I had donuts from Honeybee Bakery.
Oh.
And I had cookies from Compass Rose. And so Compass Rose Cafe, I believe.
Yes.
So that part was nice because I had all these free snacks that when people came in. So I thank them for the support from last year.
Absolutely.
So yeah, this year I have a feeling that I'll have more games and there'll be more people that are going to be able to meet each other.
Sweet.
I'm so excited. I met so many people and I talked to so many people during this convention. I think I spent majority of the time. I didn't get to play any games.
That's a true director.
I know. And I've got two goals this year. One is to get the word out so as many people that enjoy playing games mm-hmm. can come play in this free community event and to play in a game of some sort.
Yeah.
That's my goal this time.
Good. Yes, absolutely. And with the Elks Lodge right there, they're really good about getting the word out and putting things on the calendar. And
correct.
We're here to give all the support and fun stuff to all ages in the community.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and speaking of all ages, during that my door-to-door meeting of everyone, I also heard at many, many places, oh, do you know that the high schools have clubs where they play, you know, Dungeons and Dragons and play role-playing games? And so that was part of my push too, is I wanted to make sure that I had a, you know, wide age range and that there were, you know, younger people that had the ability to learn about this and to come play games. So I made sure that when I was handing out the flyers that I made, that I stopped at the school districts in Crescent City, Brookings, and Gold Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I went to Gold Beach, the principal that I spoke to there was wonderful, and she let me know that they would put the flyers out, but sometimes it's hard to get kids to read things.
So, oh, yes.
So I had to kind of set my expectations from that. But I'm going back once again with that Flyers to try to
okay.
bring in some
yeah.
younger people to, you know, so they can meet people, you know, meet other kids and they can, you know, progress their hobbies.
Absolutely. Do you have any main needs or goals right now for when, so this Harbor Game Con is at the Elks Lodge the day of?
It's going to be March 16th, 2024. It's going to be from 10 o'clock to 8 o'clock. The largest needs I have now, I've got everything pretty set. I'm working on the vendor part. The largest need I have now is for people to volunteer to run games.
Okay.
I had a list of, if people go to harborgamecon.com, I have a webpage set up. And so on harborgamecon.com, there's a newsletter sign up. And then if someone signs up to that, when there's either future events or if there's, you know, new events added to the schedule, I can send them that information there. But also on that site, there are links if you want to volunteer to run a board game or a role-playing game. And it's easy. I mean, you just click the link and then it's going to ask you your name, the name of your game, a description for you to sell your game, like, if, you know, get people excited about it. So I've got a short section there.
Okay.
So, and then what I do with that information is I use that to make signup sheets. And the way that the signup sheet worked last year, and it's going to work also this year, is from March 1st to the 15th, there's going to be early signups at the Whimsical Griffin Game Store here in Brookings.
Oh, wonderful.
So all the information that people give me for the scheduled games, I'm going to put that in a folder, and then that will be at the Whimsical Griffin between those dates. I have his information, you know, the Whimsical Griffin's information on the webpage, as well as the hours and map on the site to the Elks Lodge, a map to the Whimsical Griffin.
Oh, wow.
So if you go to the webpage, it's going to have all the information that someone would need there. So between those dates, you can go in while you look at the hours, go in and you can sign up early between those times.
Yeah.
And then those sheets will then be at the convention and be available at the front desk starting on the 16th.
Okay.
And so you can sign up for a game then also.
That sounds like a lot of fun. And that's very simple, straightforward, right to the harborgamecon.com website.
Correct. Oh, yeah, definitely. Harborgamecon.com.
Sweet. This is really, really, I'm really looking forward to it. Do people dress up? I mean, other than, you know, us.
You know, we did have a few people dress up last time. We're in the works right now of possibly having like a cosplay contest of some sort.
A cosplay contest?
Possibly.
Yeah.
So that's still being ironed out.
Okay.
But if you go to the webpage, if we have that, there'll be more information there, like rules and times and things like that.
Okay.
Then it'll happen. But it is something. Right. But we did have some. I think we had some people dressed up as elves last time.
Oh, how cute!
It was nice of them. It was sweet.
Good, good. We do ask a question on the show. Tell us what the word what quality means to you.
You know, I would say reliability is quality, and honesty is quality.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I try to live my life. Always saying what I mean, making myself, you know, what I present is, you know, is what I am. And then that way someone can reliably look at you and you can have a conversation and have a good connection with someone and not have to worry about their intentions. I would say reliability and honesty.
Oh, that's one of the winners right there, listeners. We have such a variety of answers, and that, thank you so much. That's really, really peaceful.
You're welcome.
We appreciate it. Is there anything that, so do you have kids?
I don't. I've got two nieces. Oh, thank you. So I've got two nieces. I have an older niece, Desiree, and a younger niece, Abby. And actually, this kind of goes with the story with the kids running the games at the schools is my younger niece. She's in a Dungeons and Dragons club at her school. And she went to a game and was one of the players while someone else was running the game, and she called me and said, well, you know, I'm so upset because I went and played this game, and you know, the rules were one thing one time, and then I went back and the rules had changed, and I need to know it. And so I let her know, like, okay, well, I think you need to run a game, and she was excited about that. So I made some learning plans for her.
Oh, how cute.
And the first one was one page, and then the next one was like a 5-page guide, and then I bought her like the thick book,
And
so I figured she could start with the short one, and if she got through that and was, you know, studious enough and wanted to move forward, she could. And so I can't remember all of them, but there on the top, I kind of had some ideals. Oh, some of them were, you know, if you're running the game, the type of storytelling like that, you know, you're in charge, you know, it's like you run the rules, but at the same time, you have to be fair, and you have to be consistent with your, you know, rulings or your, that you use. The next one, the rule kind of that I gave her for running is if you're playing on with a table of someone, and you know, there's different types of personalities, definitely. Like I enjoy running games, but sometimes when I'm the player, I realize that I get a little shy sometimes. And then if someone has a bigger personality, you know, I kind of stand back, and and I let her know. I said, if you're running a game like that and you see that someone is a little more boisterous, you know, like pause the game and kind of go around the table and make it so everyone gets a turn,
nice.
Turn to play. So those were the rules that I gave her, is that you need to do that. And so the next part, she calls a couple weeks later and says, oh, I've got my first game, but I forgot all my notes, you know. what should I do? And one of the games that I'm running online with my friends, I gave her the adventure that we were doing, and she took those, and then the kids went wild with what their adventures were, and she said it was a success. So I'm definitely proud of her.
Awesome. And that's Abby. You are Ian, and we are so thankful. Thank you for presenting the HarborGameCon.com in person at the Elks Lodge.
If you go to the site, there'll be a full schedule of games with all the information that I just said on how to early sign up, how to get to the place.
Okay.
And please come and have fun and volunteer.
Thank you, Ian. Thank you, listeners.
Welcome. Thank you so much.